Our God is great, and He gives great gifts to His children. Today, as we return tithes and offerings, we are just giving to the greatest giver. I want to invite our deacon ministry to stand, and let me lead us in one word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank You for Your graciousness. Your Son Jesus is a marvelous gift that we celebrate today. Lord, the offerings, the tithing that's returned, the offering that is given today, may it be used by Your blessing and for great things for Your kingdom. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Christ has said, Hallelujah. This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" When the time for Passover came, Jesus sent Peter and John to make preparations for the meal. That night, as he ate with his closest friends, the one whose body would be broken for him, whose blood would be poured out to cover their sins, offered them the bread and the wine. Though he knew he would die for them the next day, Jesus celebrated because the Father had provided deliverance and salvation the way he always does.
That was torn for us. This is the blood that was spilled. Points to the pain. points to the shame, the blame, the guilt. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come. Move our hearts to remember. This is the Lamb who was slain for us, so we the church may enter in. So bittersweet when we think of you, the one who bore our curse, our sin.
After supper, Jesus led the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he told them to keep watch as he went to pray alone. Though in emotional anguish, Jesus submitted himself to the Father's plan of redemption. As the night deepened, the sound of soldiers' feet and the flicker of torches approaches as Judas, the betrayer, led a pack of temple guards and priests to find Jesus and arrest him. These men dragged Jesus all over Jerusalem as Jesus faced trial after trial. Rebuked by the chief priest, mocked by Herod, called into question by Pilate. Hours of accusations were met with silence as Jesus calmly accepted his task. Angry mobs began to swarm the city, demanding a sentence of death. Though Pilate could find no fault in him, the crowds and the priests were relentless. He finally gave in to the unyielding pressure and sentenced Jesus to die. He was beaten, bruised, torn, his head bloodied by a crown of thorns. Forced to carry a heavy cross through the city, he made his way to Calvary. Nails pierced through his feet, his hands, the weight of sin crushed through to his heart. As the afternoon sun turned black, Jesus Christ became the Lamb. the cross. It is arguably the most recognized symbol in history. Before Jesus died, its very mention brought to mind images of punishment and torture and death. But ever since that day, the cross has said one thing. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes on him will have eternal life.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride.
For it is Lord that I should boast, safe in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that jar me most I sacrifice them to
my life, my all, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
It was over. That's what everybody thought. Two men who had been secret disciples of Jesus asked for Jesus' body. They placed it in a new tomb and left. The Jewish leaders agreed that the threat to their authority had been eliminated. They moved to make sure nothing happened to change that. The local officials congratulated themselves on putting down a potential insurrection. To placate the high priest, guards would be sent and a stone would seal the grave. Roman soldiers took up their posts, but no one really expected any trouble. The disciples hid in fear and utter sorrow. The women who followed him made plans to anoint his body. It was over. Then, Sunday dawned. The women coming to the tomb found the stone rolled away. They were confronted by two men in dazzling clothes who said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus is risen." They went to tell the disciples. Peter and John ran to the garden, and what they discovered were the linen wrappings that held his body. The news began to spread as one follower told another, "He's alive! He's alive! Jesus is alive!" Mary actually saw Jesus and reported to the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Can you just imagine how it was for Mary and Peter and John, for all those who witnessed the unmistakable evidence of the resurrection that day? For the rest of their lives, they must have told the story again and again and again. They had the great joy of sharing what they saw, what they did, and how they felt the moment they knew without a doubt that Jesus was alive.
We knew he was dead. "It is finished," he said. We had watched as his life ebbed away.
Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body that day.
to late afternoon, when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus, our precious Lord, alive. And I knew,
yes, I knew,
he really saw me. As if till now I'd never lived. All that I've done before won't matter anymore. I've just seen
asking what was her reason for tears.
And I sob in despair, my Lord is not there.
He said, child, it is I am here.
All of us whose faith is grounded in Christ have a testimony to share with the world. It's this: we owe our lives to Jesus, to his love and grace. Our hopes are anchored to his cross. Our future is secure because of his resurrection. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Survey the wondrous cross. Lord, bless with these words at this time for the glory, for the honor, and for the praise of you. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever been extremely happy and rejoiceful about something? Huh? Maybe, just maybe, you were blessed to have a new baby in your life. Huh? Or maybe you finally purchased that brand new car you longed to get. Or maybe still, you finally brought that brand new home and moved into it. Or better still, let's say you finally met the love of your life. You have fallen in love. You know that is the right person for you. Well, we have plenty to be extremely happy and rejoiceful about today. Christ the Lord is risen. We can rejoice and we can triumph in the Lord today in our joyful celebration because he rose. He rose. He rose. Christ my Lord, Christ your Lord, Christ the Lord has risen today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. God said to his disciple John, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever. And what helped John to be the greatest prophet ever? It was the message that he had to proclaim. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I want to suggest to you today that we all can be a type of John the Baptist. Prepare ye the Lord to come. Amen? For he reigns on high and he's coming back soon. We don't have to be a people fearful or afraid of anything that we face in this life because we know Jesus has promised to be with us. He has promised to help us and he's coming back for us to take us home to be with him. I'm reminded of the scripture reference in John the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3. John said this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We ought to be a people living holy lives, helping to prepare and to proclaim the way of the Lord. When I survey the wondrous cross, I believe God wants us, you and I, to remember that deliverance and salvation came to Israel by the Passover. We sat at that table about 3 weeks ago, and we partook of all the sacred emblems. We ate his body, and we drank his blood through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We need to remember, we ought to remember that great sacrifice he made for us and to allow it to change us more into the glory and to the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't forget this great sacrifice he made for you and me. We must remember. Don't forget it. We must remember. When my wife Joyce and myself, we had the opportunity to go to Israel in 1998, and we had the opportunity to walk perhaps that same road that Christ traveled with that cruel cross, the road to Calvary for yours and mine salvation. We live in a world that is filled with many temptations and distractions. As Jesus bade the disciples to watch and pray when they went into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus bade us to watch and pray as well. One day, you and I might be put on trial for what we believe, the one we serve, and the one we love to serve. And it will prove faithful to us that he is able to deliver us. He is able to help us. Jesus endured such horrendous abuse with such amazing humility to ensure salvation for you and I and the whole world. Don't you just love the Holy Lamb of God? Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, you, the Holy Lamb of God, wash me, wash us in your precious blood, oh, Lamb of God. When I survey the wondrous cross, I can't help but think of it. You've heard it several times today. You don't mind, you want to hear it again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We must stop each day and survey the wondrous cross, for it was there on that hill called Calvary where Jesus suffered, bled, and died. He sacrificed his life for you and me. So amazing. So divine, so much love, dear precious Lamb of God. 3 days, Jesus was in the tomb. There was much confusion with the betrayal, the trial, the crucifixion. The disciples hid for great fear of their lives, but Sunday morning was coming. Amen. It was coming, and what great joy that came with it, because they went to the tomb and there the stone was rolled away. Praise God. Praise God. He's alive. He's alive. He is alive. Amen. The disciples overwhelmed with such joy because they had just seen Jesus. Jesus had laid down his life and he had taken it back. Mary, Martha, John, Peter, and the disciples could proclaim with wonderful joy, I've just seen Jesus and I'll never be the same again. One day soon, you and I, all of us, we are going to see Jesus for ourselves. And I tell you the truth, we will never, ever be the same again. In Christ alone, my hope is found, for he is my strength and my song. He is my cornerstone, my solid ground. He is the rock I stand. Afflictions, crosses to bear, temptations, varied trials. We need not faint, we need not fear, for it is in Christ alone I stand. We stand. This is our hope, for our hope is found in Christ alone. For he is my strength and my song. He is my cornerstone. He is my solid ground. He is the rock that I stand on. When I survey the wondrous cross, I know that you and I can proclaim through singing today and every day, because we are born again believers in Christ Jesus, that soon and very soon we are going to see the King. You see, there'll be no more crying there, because we're going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there. You see, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we're going to see the King. When I survey the wondrous cross, love overwhelms me. Love consumes me. Love saves me.
Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am.
You make me want to act up, you know. I'll try to contain myself, but praise the Lord, folks. I don't know about you, but soon and very soon, Pastor Julius is going to see the King. Amen. Soon and very soon, you and I, we're going to see the King. Amen. Soon and very soon, choir, orchestra, those in a audio visual booth, we're going to see the King. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hearty praise. Give him some praise, folks. Give him some praise. Give it up for the Lord. Amen. Because it's all about him. It's all about him. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, my, my, my. John, we want to thank you, folks. We want to thank you, the choir, those on the instruments. Oh, Heidi, I tell you, that harp girl, I'm going to get me one, you know, when I get to the kingdom of glory. I can't play it now, but I'm going to play, girl, you know. How about you, huh? beautiful music. The Lord used you. The Lord blessed us dearly. Church, weren't you blessed? Amen. Weren't you blessed? Come on, praise the Lord. We want to thank all of you folk. We want to thank you for coming today. We do hope you've been blessed. We hope that this service today will help to change your life forever. That it'll be a positive influence for the good. As you go through life this coming week, this next day, we've got things we can rejoice in. We can rejoice because Jesus died for us, rose for us. He has saved us. He's coming to get us soon. Amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen, amen. Folks, I want to invite you to stand with me for our benediction. May the Lord God bless us. May the peace of God unite us. May the grace of God save us. May the hope of God keep us strong. And may your presence, God, consume us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you.